So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So welcome to the Marketing and Sales Show. In this session today, we're going to talk about the four different myths about social media content. And so obviously we're a content marketing agency. This is what we do day in, day out. We're pretty much experts in our field. We've been doing this for a number of years. And so all of this comes from our experience. Other people's experiences might be different. I don't really care. But this is our experience with lots and lots of clients, hundreds, thousands. Like literally thousands of pieces of content go out every single month that's been produced by our business for on behalf of our clients, which is, I mean, it's just phenomenal, literally. I mean, it's something like 1,800 pieces a month of content. That's images, videos, podcasts, audio, everything, copy, Facebook ads, Google ads. I mean, we put out so much content. Anyway, in today's session, we want to talk about some of the myths that I've heard people speak to me about. And we just want to kind of dispel some of those. So we'll crack straight on into the content. So first one, myths about social media content is everybody's watching. And oh my gosh, I messed up and I'm ruined. I got to tell you folks, nobody's watching. Nobody's watching your content. Nobody cares. Everyone's really busy. Everyone is so focused on what they're doing. And unless you've got a piece of content that people absolutely need to listen to, and it will absolutely change their lives. It's just not that relevant. And so, you know, if you do mess up, and boy, we mess up all the time. We did one last week, and before I go live every session, I hit the start record button. So I record, and I do the intro, I do this screen, and I do the outro, plus I do the spare screen as well, the second screen I've got set up, just to make sure that the sound actually works. And then I press stop, and then I listen back to the recording, just to make sure that it actually, the sound works and all of that kind of thing. Now, I've done this where before I used to have that process, I would go live and the microphone didn't work. For whatever reason, it's all plugged in, nothing's really changed, but the microphone didn't work. And I'd do 45 minutes on a session, and I'd be talking away, and nothing, there was no sound. And that was one. And then just a few weeks ago as well, I hit the stream button instead of the start recording button. So I'm here looking at my screens, trying to wake up with my coffee, and I'm live, and I didn't know it. And I'm like, oh no, I'm ruined, I messed up. And then I was like, oh, no one's watching anyway. So it's like, it doesn't really matter. And then we went onto Twitter and went onto Facebook, went onto YouTube, and we cancelled them all. The only thing one that we didn't cancel was LinkedIn. We're like, oh, screw it, we'll just leave it out there, basically. But who cares? It's like, nobody cares. You're not on the BBC News. You're not, you know, you're not on Luther or a Netflix show. Nobody cares, right? So stop worrying about the fact that you feel that if you mess up, you're ruined in some way. Stop thinking, oh my gosh, everybody's watching. And one of the downsides of thinking that everybody's watching is that you get really, really nervous. And actually, what I do, and sometimes I get nervous too, I had a little twinge of nervousness just before we transitioned to the live show. But one of the things that you can do if you feel like you're going to, you know, be overwhelmed with nerves, is you can just pick one person, you know, pick a conversation that you've had this week. And when you're talking about this particular piece of topic, you can simply picture that you're having a conversation with them. So like, I've literally had this conversation this week. I'm worried that everyone's watching and I'm going to mess up. And it's like, well, you know, do you mess up in conversations? Yeah, of course you do. Do I mess up when I'm having a conversation with somebody? Yeah, of course I do. Do I delete that conversation somehow? Of course not. It's not possible to do. But you just crack on, don't you? And this is one of the beauties of social media and producing this content, is that everybody knows that you're not a professional newsreader. Everybody knows you're not an actor. You're not Brad Pitt. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows that you're producing this content at home, in your lounge, in your living room, in your home office, walking down the street. Everybody knows that. And actually, that's one of the captivating bits about creating content, is that it's raw and it's authentic. And people really, really love that authenticity that creating a piece of content like this actually does. And in fact, sometimes this can be overproduced. What you're seeing up here and over here and where am I down here? This can be overproduced sometimes. Now, I actually quite like this setup. I like it with the banner and with the agenda, because one, it reminds me what on earth I'm supposed to be doing. Two, it reminds me what the show is. Three, it reminds me what my name is. and there's a nice little box and I can move my arrow up and down to remember, you know, to stay on track and that kind of thing. But also, for the person watching, it lets them know what we're watching and what's coming up as well in the agenda. So that's really cool. But the original shows didn't have any of this. It was just me and a camera and a microphone. I didn't even have a microphone. We used the microphone on the camera. But create as much content as you can and stop worrying about messing up and that, you know, that people are watching, you know, they're laughing at you in some way. No one's laughing at you. Actually, they're like, I wish I could go live. Like, you know, ask yourself this. If you've not gone live yet, like, is this something you want to do? Like, are you sat there going, oh, God, I wish I could go live. I wish I could be as good as Dan. Like, bear in mind, we've done like 700 of these, okay? So when we do 700, it's like, it's a different level of conversation that we're having because we're you know, we just get so much more used to it. Okay. The next myth that I wanted to cover is that just one really good piece of content will do it. Now, there's a caveat to this. Okay, now, one piece of content can work if you're running it out as a Facebook ad. It can work if you're running it as a Facebook ad, so you're running the same piece of content, you're running adverts to that content, and that can work, okay? But if you, so that's paid advertising, that's not organic advertising, that's paid advertising. Now, if you're running organic content, and this, and I see this all the time, by the way, they're creating this amazing singular piece of content. It's got fluffy clouds, they're flying through the air, they're acting, they're walking down the street looking cool, they're driving a Lamborghini. Like, they've got this one piece of content and they spend 3 weeks doing it. It looks amazing. It's got cinematic, you know, cinema screens type effects. It's amazing. And they put that one piece of content out and crickets, nothing. Like tumbleweeds passing across, like nothing, right? And this is a massive mistake that people make. You know, I was talking about this in the car yesterday. If you're moving a boulder, you know, to get the boulder, a giant boulder moving, it takes an awful lot of force to just get it moving. Once it's moving, you've got to keep the momentum going and it gets easier. But to start moving this thing, to move the needle on your content, you've got to produce a heck of a lot of content. Now, you can just do one really good piece of content and run a Facebook ad to it. And actually, that's not a bad idea at all, in fact. But just you've got to put these pieces of content in the right box. That's a Facebook ad. Or you might be running Google AdWords to that piece of content, or LinkedIn or Twitter, wherever you want to advertise. But that is a paid-for piece of content that you're sending repeat traffic to the same piece of content. When we're talking about this type of content, me going live, for example, this is organic content. We've got to put out a significant amount of content just to move the needle. Now, having said all that, and it sounds really bad that you have to create all this content, I can tell you that when we, you know, get the momentum and when we start putting out an awful lot of content, the needle doesn't just move a little bit, it moves significantly. But, you know, we have people who go, oh, well, I've done 30 pieces of content this month. And I'm like, and what's happened? And they're like, oh, nothing, hardly anything. I'm like, but what if it was 266 pieces of content that you needed this month to get the ball, you know, the needle moving? What if it was 133 pieces and you've only done 30 pieces? Like, you don't know yet how much content you've got to put out to get this needle moving. You have no idea. And so your job should be to put out as much content as you can. However, it should also become part of your daily routine. So this is my daily routine. The wife and little one have just left to go to school. I've had my coffee. We've done all the images. We upload it. We go live. Meeting Graham down at a beachfront cafe for breakfast this morning at 9:15. It's 8:32 here in Spain. And so it's all this is part of my daily routine. So as much as I wake up, have a shower, have a coffee and go live, it's all the same stuff. Going live now is part of my daily routine. The only extra bit I need to add to my daily routine is to get to bloody CrossFit so I can start losing some pounds. But that's not happening yet. It's too cold, God damn it. Even though we're in Spain, I'm freezing. So your content creation should
become part of a kind of routine. One of my other routines, and some people don't like this, and that's okay, but it's all right for Jeremy Clarkson, it's all right for me, but I put the phone into the phone holder in the car, and I press record. And then as I'm driving from A to B, I've got a singular piece of content that I'm going to put out. So it becomes habit formed. And so I've got into the habit of just creating a lot of content. And because I'm in the habit, we're now reaping the rewards of that. Our YouTube views are up, our podcast downloads are up, our video engagement is up on Facebook. And more importantly than any of that, the number of strategy sessions that we're booking in, that's up. Our sales are up. And so all this content has a very specific purpose, which is moving the needle in terms of getting actual results. And the results that we're looking for, just as the results you're looking for, is cash in the bank, let's face it. Okay, next myth about social media content is that you've got a motivated and captivated audience. I've got to tell you, folks, you have not got a motivated audience. People are not sat there waiting by their phone to be notified that you've gone live. Like, if somebody catches your live stream, it's luck. It's pure coincidence. They're not sat there waiting with bated breath until you go live. You're not Netflix. You're not you're not Squid Games, where you've got this captivated audience who are waiting for the next episode. It just doesn't work like that. So in order for you to captivate and motivate your audience, again, you've got to put out a significant amount of content. Now, obviously, putting out a lot of content, that can be quite hard. But also, you've got to put out content at a time when an audience might be receptive to listening to that content. Okay, so like we go live, it's 7:30 a.m. in the UK right now, just after 8:30 in Spain. Like, who's watching this content at 7:30 in the morning? Not many people. But that's not the point. The point is, who's watching the content later? And we actually split up these four sections and then we'll put them out at various times, usually on an evening or on an afternoon. So people have got various times to watch and consume this type of content. And then if people are driving to work, they can listen to this on a podcast. So if you're listening to this on a podcast, welcome. And so they can consume the content when it's appropriate for them. But they're not sat there waiting for you with bated breath. And I used to think this, you know, Grant Cardone would go live Monday through Friday, 12 noon. And I tried exactly the same. And first of all, it was right slap bang in the middle of my day. Didn't work. It would offset everything else. And I would have to put everything else around that. And it would just get in the way, quite frankly. Now, if you're Grant Cardone with 6.4 million subscribers or whatever it is on YouTube, then yeah, you have a motivated and captive audience, But for all us other mere mortals, we haven't got that. We don't carry such a large following. And also, there's definitely a difference between the US and the UK. The UK, for some reason, just hate this stuff. Like, they're not as... I don't know what it is. If you go to an event with Grant Cardone and you have to give people high fives and say, you rock, to each other, and, you know, and dance and that kind of thing. Oh my goodness me. In the UK, that is so difficult to get people to do. They'll do it eventually, but it takes them a while because we're so stiff upper lipped and that kind of thing. But you've not got this audience sat waiting at 12 noon, waiting for Grant Cardone to go live. You've not got an audience waiting for you to go live. So you've got to go live when it suits you, not when it suits your audience, as long as you go live. And then pull out the pieces of content, repurpose that piece of content, pull out the MP3, put that on iTunes. People can then download it a year from now if that's, you know, that's what's going to happen. Our initial podcast went out like 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. We still have people listening to podcast number one, which is amazing. Like, we've done 700 of these and we've still got people listening to content that I created 7 years ago, which, even to this day, I find amazing. But create and produce content when it's right for you, not when it's right for your clients or your potential clients, but repurpose it so they can still get to watch or listen to that piece of content later on in the day, later on in the week, and so on. And then the last myth about social media content is that doing it yourself is cheaper. So, you know, I see people and we go, well, I'll create 30 pieces of content. I'll go on Canva, and Canva's all right. You know, it's okay. It'll do. We don't use it in-house. We used to use it, but we don't use it. It's not professional enough for us. We've got, you know, fully qualified, degree educated graphic designers sat creating content for us and our clients. So we don't use Canva. But a lot of people do use Canva and they go, I'll just create it myself. And they create 30 pieces of content and then they go and then they schedule 30 pieces of content. And before you know it, they spent quite a significant amount of hours, first of all, sat thinking about what content, what headline, what image, okay? And then they have to take it, then they have to write the copy, then they have to know what link they're going to send the traffic to, then they have to upload and schedule it out onto social media, and they have to do that at least 30 times, okay? And then they have to do it again the next month, and the next month, and the next month. And they think that they're saving money. And actually, what they should be doing instead of spending time creating content is that they should be spending that time hitting the phones, hitting the emails, following up with people. Hey, I noticed you clicked on one of our emails that we sent out last week for website design. Is that something you're interested in? Oh, wow. Yes, it is, Dan. Thank you for messaging me. I completely forgot about that. We had one just last night about content. Oh, completely forgot about that, Dan. Thanks for following up. You should be spending that time not creating content. You should be creating that time following up potential leads, potential clients, networking events, getting on the phones. Can I come and do a live on your show? This is what I talk about. I'm an expert in this, this, and this. What aspect of that would you like me to talk about? Like, doing it yourself might feel cheaper, but it's fool's gold. It's really not cheaper because the amount of time that you're spending creating content, like on Canva, not lives, because nobody else can create the lives like this, okay? But the Canva type stuff or the pre-made videos using stock footage, which we create quite a lot for our clients as well. If they haven't got time to go lives and do lives, we create quite a lot of that. But you should be really spending that time following up on potential leads. You should be creating emails. You should be writing letters. You should be going to networking events, not spending time where you can easily outsource this and move it to somebody else who's better qualified, better experienced. They actually know what they're doing. They understand about landing pages and traffic and hashtags and all that wonderful stuff that you need to understand with social media content. And so doing it yourself usually is a fool's errand. It's not cheaper to do it yourself. You're best outsourcing it, get somebody else to do it so that you can focus on the stuff that's actually going to bring in the cash. And there, my friends, are the four myths about social media content. Hope that's useful. I'm going to go and get ready for my breakfast at the Beachfront Cafe. You guys have yourselves a wicked day and we'll speak to you soon. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.